Let's discuss in chapter 5.5 in a little bit more detail how to choose optimal step sizes alpha. There's actually one method which is called steepest descent with line minimization, where you are guaranteed to find some kind of good value of alpha. So what is done in that method? Of course, the basic equation 44 is again the same. XL plus 1 is XL minus alpha times the gradient. But now we don't use some kind of fixed value for alpha, but instead the value of alpha is obtained from this equation 45, where we do what's called a line minimization. So you see, we consider this function f of x along a one-dimensional line direction, which is given by the gradient. So we move a certain amount, which is given by alpha, along this gradient direction, and therefore actually that's a one-dimensional function of alpha. And so we can take the derivative with respect to alpha to find the minimum. And we can do that by some of the methods that we have learned for one-dimensional optimization methods. And then you are guaranteed to get in each step to kind of get a lower value of your function. And in this case, of course, it's also guaranteed that you will converge. However, this method is not very efficient. Performing this line minimization in equation 45 actually typically requires several evaluations of the function. And therefore, yes, it's an expensive method. And what is important, actually, it turns out that other methods where you don't do this line minimization have typically a very similar convergence behavior, but each single iteration is much cheaper because you don't have to do this line minimization. So those kind of methods typically are based on a feedback, and I discussed them now briefly, two of them here on page 64. So the first method is what I call steepest descent with energy feedback. So what do we do? We start out with some value of alpha, and then we check whether the iteration converges or not. So we just look whether the function value goes down or whether it goes up. I mean, typically if it goes up very rapidly, it kind of explodes. And now, well, if the function value goes up, then of course we have chosen a too big step and we have to reduce the step size. Whereas if the function goes down, then well, we are in a region where we have convergence. That's very important, but perhaps the step size is a little bit too small. We can try to use a larger step size, which will then of course lead to faster convergence. And then so we increase the step size, let's say by some empirical factor, which is a little bit larger than one, something like perhaps 1.05. And then of course at some point, right, the step size will become too big and we see that things will start to diverge. So as we have already said, in this case you have to reduce the step size, and actually there you can give a justification that it's kind of optimal to reduce it by a factor of 1/2. How well can we justify that? Let's go back to this figure in the script on page 59. So remember that if we start from the blue point, we have to use the smallest step size. So that's kind of the most critical direction concerning kind of large step sizes. And so you see now that, if you have a step size which is 2 times larger than the optimal step size, then you just always jump over the minimum. You jump kind of on the same equipotential line, just on the other side of the minimum, right? With the optimal step size, you go in the minimum, and if you double the step size, then you just jump on the other side of the minimum at the same distance, and then you would jump just back and forth between those 2 points on these equipotential lines, and of course that's just a kind of borderline between convergence and divergence. And then of course you see, if you are kind of now at this threshold between divergence and convergence, then of course if you cut the step size into half, then you move in one simple step, you move along that direction, you move into the minimum. So that's some kind of optimal value. Okay, let's go back now to page 64. So that was this steepest descent with energy feedback. You can also base your feedback on the gradient, and the basic idea is again very, very simple. If you have a step size that's too small, then consecutive gradient vectors will point or more or less in the same direction. So that means the angle between them will be very small. Whereas if your step size is too large, then as you have seen, right, just the gradient vectors can point in opposite directions. If you jump back and forth between those two equipotential lines, right, then the gradient vectors will exactly point in the opposite direction. So you can monitor the angle between two consecutive gradient vectors, and then again just do this feedback. So that means if you have convergence, you increase your step size perhaps by 1.05, and if the gradient vector, so if you don't have convergence, so if the gradient vectors start to point in kind of opposite directions, then you choose to reduce your step size by 1/2. Yeah, so here done, now we have a first exercise, and there you should find equilibrium geometries of a so-called Lennard-Jones cluster. So a Lennard-Jones cluster is just a very simple model for interacting atoms. So you have, I mean, just a long-range attractive a long-range attraction, which is actually related to this van der Waals attraction. And then when the atoms are coming too close, then you have a very strong repulsion. So that's this 1 over r to the power 12 term. So actually it turns out that this Lennard-Jones potential kind of describes reasonably well, for instance, some metallic clusters. And so you might want to determine out the equilibrium geometry of such a cluster. And so you can now here apply some of the methods that we have discussed in the course to find the equilibrium geometry, right? And the equilibrium geometry, of course, is again the geometry that will minimize the energy that's given by this equation 64.